Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. Well, this is going to be a gritty podcast because, as we all know, the Chicago Bears got their shit pushed in by the Detroit Lions.
Thrashed.
They got the belt to ass. What they say, belt to ass? No, you got belt put to your ass. That's what happened in, up in D-Town. So we gonna get real. It's a lot of craziness going on Bears Twitter right now. And hey, fans got a right to be upset. I ain't even go. Hey,
they do. Yeah, of course.
They got a right to be upset. Of course. We ain't gonna knock it. But Bears look like shit. And the only positive I got from that.
Before we get started, let me just say this. I just want to say this. Our intro is dope. I just like the way the ladies say my name. let's get back to the show.
What, Dan?
Let's get back to the show.
So it's pretty brutal right now. You know, I felt the Bears had a chance. We already kind of said this was a possibility that the Detroit Lions could put belt to ass to the Chicago Bears. They at home. They got their backs against the wall. They want to put it to Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Our secondary is ravaged with injuries. And you got Jared Goff.
Did y'all choose the Bears to lose or win last week? I know I chose them to lose.
I think you.
We both chose them.
I said, you know, I was like the homer in me want to see a Bears win. They was going. I said it was going to get their ass blew out.
We said a blowout was on the table. We did say a blowout was on the table.
I said it was going to get up.
It was on the table. Yeah,
I said it was going to get up.
We said they could go out there and get their ass whooped.
It's going to get ugly.
Especially if Jalen Johnson didn't play, which he played for a little bit.
And then he went down and it was murder at that point.
So did TJ Edwards and it was a wrap.
Yeah, you said that. You said that quick.
Yeah, depending on TJ and TJ and JJ.
I ain't got
no positive from that game other than I like Romo Dunze. I think Caleb Williams made some steps in the right direction. Outside of that,
Kyle Manon got average 4 yards per carry.
Yeah, by the time he put him in the game,
right?
Yeah,
I didn't understand that 3rd-and-1 quarterback sneak when you got a 5'8", 220-pound bowling ball back there. I didn't understand that quarterback run on 3rd-and-1, and then to come back with it again on 4th-and-1 was like the dumbest shit in the world to me. But that was stupid. But outside of that, some things that I wanted to take away from that game, like you said, Roma Dunze flashed. Of course, Uno. You know, Uno is that guy, man. You know, and I'm glad that it's coming to fruition. What I told people, this was going to be his year. Uno is that guy, but. With him being that guy, you know, later on in the segment, we're going to get to a possible departure of somebody else with Uno emerging as that guy. So go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I ain't really got much for that game, man. Like, it's nothing. They got their ass beat. So, I mean, the Lions game, y'all can touch on it. It wasn't good to talk about.
It wasn't flat on ass whipping. It really wasn't much to touch on.
Yeah, you know, I need to touch on
a couple things though. Like a lot of people are paying so much attention, and I understand for just cause they pay a lot of attention to Caleb Williams.
I think we lose him.
Yeah, you got people that he's taking steps in the right direction.
Okay, we got
you got 417 two games. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got me back? Okay, all right. Yeah. So, yeah, 417 yards total passing. That's 209 yards per game. It's not that impressive to me. You know what I mean? Now, you do see some steps in the right direction. He's, you know, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, blah, blah, blah. This, then the third. But my thing is, Bears fans need to not be so fixated on just the quarterback position.
Right. Because there's other
Understand
issues.
That this defense is atrocious right now. And I understand that we're dealing with injuries and we're dealing with a lot of things. And it's a new coordinator. It's a new system, blah, 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 this, then the third. But you got to come together at some point. You got to get it together. You know, and this is what makes me frustrated, because I feel like they needed more work in the preseason. You know what I mean? I don't want to see guys sitting out of games in the preseason if we're going to go out here and have this slow of a start to the season and put yourself behind the eight ball. You know what I mean? Start off 0-2. You're going into, you know, you facing Dallas next week now. You could possibly be 0-3. The city finna burn, bro.
Ain't no possible.
Like
to
people, you know, y'all think these people are stupid right now? Like, I'm waiting until next week if we lose the game. What happens?
Ain't no if. That shit coming. I'm going to tell you that. That's the second ranked offense in the crazy, NFL. Man. It's coming. So you gotta, can't stop them from scoring.
You got a 52 they gave up to Detroit, bro. And this is a Detroit team that couldn't manufacture a touchdown until the final minutes of the
Green
game.
Green Bay game, yeah.
They had 6 points on the board, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you let them go out there and get 52.
That dog walked.
I mean, this is, yeah, it don't make sense. But here's my other thing when it comes to this game. The penalties are still a major concern of mine, bro. Like, and Ben Johnson is supposed to be that disciplinarian. He's supposed to be that no nonsense. I said this last week, bro. Like, at this point in time, you now have to, I need to see it. I need to see, what is it that you're bringing? You know what I'm saying? Because you're talking it, and I get it. But start making heads roll. If guys are not producing, get them off the field, bro. I'd rather you start doing that, like Jimmy Johnson used to do with the Cowboys back in the day. You ain't going to do it. I'll get somebody in here that will.
Flat out.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what needs to happen. You know what I mean? That's because we're losing the games anyway. So right. Who cares if he's a better player? If he ain't gonna do what I tell you to do, or if you're not gonna play your position the way you should, get off the field. Straight up.
What did Mike Singletary said? I'd rather get penalized every play playing with 10 players than trying to play with a player like that, bro. I can't do it.
It's a facts.
Can't do it. I'd rather get penalized all up and down the field.
Can't do it.
You know, yeah, I think that's what his talk today was about. He was saying, he basically said that, like, people all know this, man.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
One, of course, that's on notice. Jonah Jackson, straight up.
The booty! Oh!
You was ass, bruh. Complete ass.
And I'm gonna throw ass a caveat and which cheeks. Lead into our next thing, is right. Jonah Jackson, you know why he's here? Ben Johnson. You know why? Because he played Pro Bowl caliber football in Detroit with Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people are like, see, Poles missed another one. He brought him here because of Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
He did.
Sucks.
Let's get into that right now,
but I mean, he could turn it around.
Get better.
A lot of
they can get better. Yeah, these guys are professionals. They get paid a lot of money. They made Pro Bowls. They should get better. The only way out of this shit is they play better. There ain't no quick fixes. There ain't no firing people. You maybe can bench people, put people on timeout, but what you got is what you got, and these motherfuckers got to play. It ain't even about talent. It's about heart. You got to have some fucking dog in you, bro. You got to fight. You can't lay down and give up. Yeah. Give up the cheeks anytime somebody put a little resistance on your ass.
You can't be a puss out there. Yeah.
You can't be a pussy, dude.
that's what it boils down to. Yeah. You can't do it. This is football. You can't be a puss out there, bro.
Nah, come on. What I was going to say, we got this thing, and everybody, I'm going to say this first and foremost. Fans have a right to be pissed at the Chicago Bears organization. They haven't won shit consistently since they fired Lovey in fucking 2012, right? Mm-hmm. 2018 was a blip. It was an anomaly. It happened, and you went back to being shit. Flash in the pan. So we can legitimately say we haven't really been shit since 2010.
That's sad, the 2010.
Yeah. So what was it? We made the playoffs 2018, and then we made the wild card 2019, which was fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, we went 8-8.
Yeah, you know. That was cheeks.
That was the first year. Yeah, so we were cheeks. So fans have a right to be pissed. There's a lot of people that are in their 20s and their 30s that never really seen a good Chicago Bears team. That's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's crazy to think
we
about.
We talked about this last year, remember? My son is 8 years old, bro. 8 years old.
Yeah.
He ain't seen the Bears playing in a playoff game.
Mm. Yeah.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah. So if you're a teenager, all you got is the 2018 Bears. You don't even remember the Love Year. Mm-hmm. So fans have a right to be pissed. All they see is suck, right? But I do want to say this. The GM does not make draft picks unilaterally. For people that don't know what that means he don't just fucking pick players. There's a collaboration.
Pace does.
Pace did when John Fice, he just picked Mitch Trubisky and they let him know. Hey, we're picking Mitch right here.
Ass.
Huh?
I wanted
Watson.
Right.
Or Jamal Adams. No, we're picking Mr. Busy. Who is that? Never heard of the guy.
Fuck shit. You wanna bro, everybody when they read that fucking card, everybody was like, Trubisky?
I was too, bro.
Like, what the fuck? I could have sworn they was finna say Deshaun Watson. That motherfucker said
I was like Watson and Mahomes. Nope.
Mitchell Trubisky. We was like
Mitch Trubisky. His nickname is Mr. Biscuit.
I turned the draft off after that. I was like,
my QB gonna be named Mr. Biscuit.
I turned the draft off after that. I literally turned it off. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I don't even want to see no more. I was sick. But you know, hey, but you again, like you said though, Will, you know, shit. A lot of these players that's on this team were drafted because of Eberflus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Flus told him to, you know, go and get them. You know, these are the players that I need. Now the fact that Eberflus is gone, those that remain, you know, now you got half a team that's Ben Johnson guys, and then you got the other half that's Matt Eberflus guys. You know, needless to say, again, some people are going to be gone soon.
Oh, hell yeah.
Rather sooner than later.
Yeah. And as soon as you get a new head coach, you should expect that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but shit, it's kind of heartbreaking to a sense, but I hate to see him go. But, you know, again, I am a Chicago Bears fan first. You know?
I hate to see him go, but a lot of them, I would love to see them walk away.
Yeah, absolutely. Time, you know,
they don't cut from a winning culture, bro. That's the reality. Let me do a quick breakdown. Like a lot of people like get mad about players and shit. I'm gonna tell you, Eberflus defense. He ran the cover two, that Tampa two, that Lovey. Mm-hmm. And that defense, there are positions that are important. He said, "I want these positions." Three technique, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. That's one of the most important positions. That's why they drafted Dexter. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted him to. They tried to sign Larry Ogunjobi, but something was wrong with his physical. That's why he was like one of the first people. So they got him Dex, second round draft pick. The nickel cornerback is very important. Mm-hmm. Remember Kenny Moore up in the Colts?
Mm-hmm. Colts
and the Will Line. Yeah.
Yep.
The Will linebacker. They signed TJ Edwards. They also need that Mike linebacker who's tall and fast.
Sideline to sideline.
Sideline to sideline. He could drop back in that deep zone. Edwards. That's why they got Tremaine Edwards. So a lot of these players were picked because of Matt Eberflus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they chose. In that Tampa 2, they focus on the interior defensive line and then go outside. That's why they traded for Sweat the following year. They didn't go first number one because that's not the top priority. Because you remember that with the Bears, it was Tommy Harris and Tank that were the engines. Agunlier and Alex Brown, they were solid players, but they weren't like game records. They didn't get a game record until they got Julius Peppers.
Exactly. And then they added in Spice Adams and all them in the middle.
Yeah, but they was those were interior guys.
Yeah.
Those that interior is the main engine of that defense. So you're seeing why you like, oh, why don't he get this? Why don't he get that? Because this is what the coach wanted. The GM's job, man, is supposed to get the players that the coach wants. It's a collaboration. Facts. It's not just like Ryan Pace just sitting in the fucking office just picking players and saying, hey, That's what happened when we picked Shea McClellan, because he didn't fit the 4-3 defensive end. He was a 3-4 outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you don't have alignment.
Yep.
Holes, regardless of what you say about him, he fucking picked the players that his coaches wanted. You saw that this year with Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
First round draft pick, what did he pick?
Coastal
Loveland. Yeah. Why? Sam Laporta. Second pick, who did he pick? Luther Burden. Why? Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you can't get mad at the guy for picking the players that his coaches want. Mm-hmm. That's why you got to have alignment. So when this shit goes down and it fucking flies south, you can say, no, they did this shit together. The thing mm-hmm. about it, if you wanted to fire fucking Flus and then you wanted to start over with a new GM, that was your time to do it. But now that you didn't do that, right, now you have to see this shit through. You have to say, you motherfuckers are married yeah. with Caleb Williams. And yeah. if you get rid of one, you get rid of all of them.
Everybody yeah, got
to
go.
Everybody.
Y'all are tied to the hip, which means y'all need to depend on each other mm-hmm. in order to succeed, right? So you can't finger point in this situation, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been telling people, because people are so, you know, like Bears fans, please, just hear us when we say this. If you fire the GM, what does that leave? What does that make your coach? A lame duck coach. Mm-hmm. What does that make your first round, number one overall draft pick, Caleb Williams, who's supposed to be a generational talent, who's supposed to be the future of the franchise? What does that make him? A lame duck as well, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys will be so essentially you would be doing the same thing that we've been doing over yeah. and over and over again. And at some point, you have to look at these teams that have success in the NFL. The quarterbacks like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Who else? Joe Burrow. If I mean, yeah, there's a ton of them that you.
Well, you're the Packers. Success, go up north.
Right? Yes, the Packers. Jordan Love, right? He's having success right now. But the thing about these guys, they've been in the same situation with the same coach and GM for years. For yes. years now. Not 1 or 2 years, but for years. 6, 7, 8, 9 years. They've been with guys. Now, a coordinator may go, but the philosophy and everything stays the same because McDermott's still the coach there in Ooh. Buffalo. You see what I'm saying? Brandon Bean is still the GM in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. You know, you still have Harbaugh that's the coach in Baltimore with Lamar. The same guy that drafted him, the same he's in a comfort zone. They learn the system and they become really, really effective and proficient at it. The Bears have to do that at some point. You cannot just keep jumping and playing musical chairs with quarterbacks, coaches, offensive coordinators, GMs, and expect somehow for things to magically work out. You got to tie these guys at the hip. That's what they've done. And that's what they did with the contract extension for Poles. Yep. They're tied there. Now it's up to y'all three. Get it together. Whatever way you need to get it together, and win some ball games. And yep. if you can't do that, in a couple years, we'll get rid of all of you at the same
yes,
time.
Yes, all of them. All
that's
of
it.
Them.
That's how it is. So Bears fans, get on board with it. Deal with it. Suck it up. I don't care. And I'm speaking to Bears fans, and I know there's a few of them. There's Bear fans that are pissed off at Ryan Poles because he got rid of Justin Fields. And now everything that he does will be scrutinized because he got rid of your quarterback. Bro, get over it. It's 2 years ago. It's yep. done. It's over with. I love
yeah,
Justin
Yeah, we wish
Fields
Justin
too,
the best.
But at the end of the day, we got to move forward, people. And everything that the GM does from this point forward is not a cause for concern just because he got rid of a player that you loved. Roquan Smith, he got rid of him 3 years ago. Let it go. Oh, he traded a fourth round pick or a second round pick for Chase Claypool. I hate him for life. Come on, bro. You're going to swing on some and you're going to hit some out of the ballpark. There are going to be some that you swing and strike out on. It's just the way the ball, that's the way it goes. I said this on several podcasts. People talk about that first round draft pick. He doesn't have any Pro Bowlers. He's got Romo Odunze. He's got Caleb Williams in one draft together. They will eventually make a Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. Colston Loveland will be a Pro Bowl player. Darnell Wright will be a Pro Bowl. Those are his four first round picks that he's made since he's been here. They will be first. I believe that all of those players will make a Pro Bowl at some point in time. But the thing is, you gotta see it through. And in the NFL, go look it up. Last 10 years, guys that made the Pro Bowl from the first round, it's only a 30% hit rate. That made one Pro Bowl. Just one. So that's 3 out of 10 players. 3 out of 10. 30 players, 31, 32 players drafted in the first round, maybe 9 of them might make one Pro Bowl. And y'all are pissing and complaining because you ain't seen Poles draft a Pro Bowl player when he didn't have any picks his first year, and then he had Caleb, and he's playing with a bad team. Exactly, the previous GM traded all of them. But then, you draft Caleb and you draft these guys, but they're put into a rebuilding organization. And when you're in a rebuilding organization, you ain't got the wins to get to garner Pro Bowl numbers. You're not going to get to the Pro Bowl when you're winning three games, four games a year because you're rebuilding, because you're tearing a roster down and rebuilding. So, man, like people got to understand the patience that's involved in building a perennial winner. Otherwise, you'll be a flash in the pan like we was in 2018, where we'll catch fire and win 10 games in a row and then come back the very next year when everybody's all high and okay, we about to take off, and you lay an egg for the next 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought we were on our way.
Yep.
That was it.
It was done. 2018 was 2018, and then it had been a downward spiral ever since. It's the way it is. It's the way it is, bro.
I'm deflated.
It's going to suck. Yeah, it's going to suck, bro. I'm going to be honest.
Nez said he defeated. Nez ain't got that much to say, man. It's crazy.
I really don't, man. I didn't either, bro. I'm fucked up watching this team, man. It's like they can't get it together. I just don't know what it is. And I'm not talking about just the players. I'm talking about the front office, the organization. It just seemed like shit just... It's like everything is out of sync, man. You know, and the thing is that I know what's coming Sunday. Not only do I know what's coming Sunday, I know what's to come in another couple weeks. You know, again, like I said, the trade deadline is coming, and I know that we're going to be selling off assets for draft picks. I know that's coming. I know it's coming. We're going to be selling off assets for draft picks.
Maybe that needs to come.
Yeah.
Maybe.
This is the thing. Like, I hear what you're saying, but these players that were picked for Flus, they ain't won shit. The best season they had, this is, and I'm going to give, let me run down the history of, yeah, that was the best season. This is Ryan Poles' general manager history. First year, they tore everything down. They were tanking, bro. Mm-hmm. They were trying to lose games. So whatever record people come up with, I don't even think that shit matter. They tried to lose games. Second year, they actually have improvement. They won 7 games. We thought, oh, Justin Fields might be the quarterback. They decided, we don't want to go that path, which is fine. I ain't bitching about it. I'm over it. I wish Justin success in New York. We moved on to Caleb. They said, all right, cool. Second year, we making that jump. No, we getting rid of Justin. We're bringing in Caleb. Everything looked fine at first. We on Hard Knocks. We were 5-2, about to beat the Commanders. And the bottom fell out. The coach got fired. Everything's a shit mess. And now we're in this year. That's the history in itself. So I get that there's this residual PTSD with Bear fans, but guess what? A guy like Ben Johnson does not give a shit what happened under Flus. All he cares about is right now. So whatever people got to do in their brains and their mental Rolodex to separate, I separated that Flus shit from Ben Johnson. So I am a little bit like whatever with the Bears, but I have at least done that. Like, I understand this. When they did that alignment, I said, these three guys are in alignment. This is a new day. They are going to have bumps in a row. So that's what people just need to understand. That Flus shit does not matter. He's not here. Ben Johnson is here. I think Ben Johnson is a good coach. I think he'll eventually figure it out, but I think he has his work cut out for him. And motherfuckers might need to be traded. Fuck it. Trade Sweat. I don't care. Wait till Booker come back. Put his ass out there. Let him start. I don't care. Yeah. You know? That's fuck it. If Billings and Grady can't do it, put Shamar Turner in there. I'm dead ass serious. Put trade DJ Moore and put fucking Luther Burden. That's why you drafted him.
That's the main piece. That's the main piece that they
you drafted these guys. Just let them go. Mm-hmm. Just let them play. If they don't want to be here, fuck them, bro. Get the draft picks and then go out next year. Draft you an edge rusher. Draft you a left tackle, draft you a running back, draft you another cornerback, and just let's go. Just run it with the young guys and say, this is a new era. That Flus shit is dead. And if you part of that whole regime and you still got butthurt, you out of here, bro. That's it. Maybe that's what they need.
Yeah.
But what they don't need to do is fire the fucking GM, and it's going to lead to head coach getting fired, which leads to the quarterback. Maybe they all need to go, but we ain't going to find out for at least another 2 years. And if they go, they all need to go at the same fucking time. I'm tired of this. Fire the GM. We did this shit with Lovey. We fired Angelo. We brought in Emery. Emery's Lovey was on the interview for Phil Emery to hire his own GM. Well, we can hire his own GM. Well, that's what Lovey did. And guess what Phil Emery did? He fired his ass the next year and hired Mark Trestman.
Yep. Yep.
And we've been shit ever since. So don't ever do that shit again. And it's especially the Chicago media. You fucking people know better. You guys are in your 50s and your 60s and shit. Yeah. Cap and fucking Haw and Sylvie and Waddle. The younger kids, they don't know this shit. I don't really fault them for thinking this because they don't know any better. We know better. We saw that shit happen with the Chicago Bears when they fucking fired Jerry Angelo, who was Lovey's GM, and then hired a new guy. Then he fired Lovey the next year.
Most successful fucking GM we've had.
They fired Lovey after 10-6 year. They were looking for reasons to fire Lovey. That's what the new GM is going to do. He's going to come in and be like, I don't get along with Ben Johnson. You're going to start seeing articles. His personality is too brash. Caleb's too colorful. They're going to fire the fucking the head coach. They're going to fire the quarterback, and we can be right back at square one 3 years from now.
Right back at square one.
Right back at
square one. And the problem that you'll have with that is that you'll already have two or three seasons of the old previous GM's work that's built into the new GM's work, like you've already had with what we have with Ryan Poles, right? So Poles came in, he didn't draft Justin Fields, right? Mm-hmm. That wasn't his guy. So all the losses that you had with Justin Fields and the bad player or whatever you want to call it, anything you want to call it, that's all heaped on Poles' shoulders as well, right? So with all those losses, now things change. You bring in a new quarterback, and it's still not because, you know, you've already got two or three seasons of bad play, bad numbers, bad everything, losing seasons. So this is the situation. We've said it on this show time and time again. Wash, rinse, repeat. The Bears are doing it. Wash, rinse, repeat. And it's like, okay, I seen a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel because it's like, okay, maybe they're doing things differently. When you go and you get Ben Johnson, I'm like, okay, they got Ben Johnson. They got the guy, the highly coveted Ben Johnson. They drafted Caleb Williams, you know, and everybody's like, no, fire Poles, fire Poles. I'm like, dog, you cannot fire Poles at this point. You just can't do it. You can't do it. You got to sign him to an extension because that ties everybody together. And Caleb said that in preseason. Caleb said that in training camp. We're tied together for a long time. He knows that. So his success depends on everybody else's success. They got to work in unison, man. It just is what it is.
The thing that's killing me, right, again, as we go over the history of idiocracy that is the front office of the Chicago Bears, you know, again, everybody thinks it's wash, rinse, and repeat because of this microwave shit that they see these other franchises, you know, go about and go through and everything else. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, our most successful general manager that we've had since Jerry Vannesi, right, has been Jerry Angelo.
Right.
Regardless of how you may feel about him, whatever, right? He was the most successful general manager we had. He's had the most Hall of Famers, you know, the most Pro Bowlers, the most whatever, a Super Bowl appearance, had us dominating in the early 2000s, from the middle 2000s all the way up to about 2010. That was a nice five-year reign.
Yeah.
The Bears was dominating the NFC North.
They were doing well.
I believe we won the North how many years? Like three out of 5 years that year.
I remember going to a game. I remember going to a game, and you know how, you know, y'all know how Aaron Rodgers, oh, I own Chicago, blah blah blah. I remember going to a game, and I went to a game in Green Bay. It was a Sunday night game.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears won that game. Brian Urlacher had an interception, returned it on Brett Favre or whatever.
Yeah.
And Lovey, I was leaving Green Bay the following morning, Monday morning. I'm leaving. I'm driving out. Lovey was on a radio station there. And this is not a lot. Lovey was on a radio station and he was laughing. And he said, I feel at home in Green Bay. This is like Soldier Field of the North to me. That's how dominant we were at the time, bro. We was killing Green Bay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It seems so far along, you know, far away from that now. But that's how good the Bears were when it came to handling business.
You know, his introductory speech was, we will beat Green Bay.
Yeah.
We will beat them regularly.
He did it.
And we was whooping their ass, right?
Yeah.
The tide didn't turn with Green Bay, and I want people to understand this. The tide did not turn with Green Bay until 2010 in the NFC Championship. That's when the tide turned. I want y'all to understand that, because we was whooping their ass regularly. That's why we let them in the playoffs.
Right.
That's why we let them in the fucking playoffs, like thinking like, oh yeah, we'll whoop their ass, and then fucking Aaron Rodgers have a coming of age moment, and the rest is history. And we created this motherfucker. Literally, you want to say everything else? You say what you want. We created the monster that is Aaron Rodgers. Because if we understand, we let you bitches in the playoffs. We let you in. If we'd have stomped your ass out like we should have, the last game of the season, you don't make the playoffs, and the legacy of Aaron Rodgers never happens.
And you don't win the Super Bowl.
It never fucking happens. I want y'all to understand that, okay? We let you in. We was whooping your ass that game. And we fucking pulled everybody in the second half. Said, no, you know what? It's cool. We let y'all come back and win. We played our bench in the second half. We didn't play nobody.
Yep, I remember that.
We let y'all in, and then y'all came back and fucking popped us in the NFC Championship. 21-14.
Yep.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Caleb Haney and Todd Collins.
that's the new saying now. Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Whoop-dee-fucking-doo. And also, too, I want to say that, too, about that team, even though Jerry Angelo was the GM, Lovey was the face of the team.
Yeah.
That's how most NFL franchises run. The head coach is the spokesperson, the head of the team. Last year, it was Ryan Poles because Flus was a weak head coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ben Johnson is the head of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Poles is he gives them the grocery list. Go bring me these groceries, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then cook it. I'm the chef.
Angelo was the best. We talking about Angelo being the better GM, right? We talking about how he was one of the better GMs that Chicago Bears have had. Those were Levy's players. Mm-hmm. Levy wanted Nathan Vasher. Lovey wanted, you know, he wanted Devin Hester. Yeah, he wanted these players. Those were Lovey's guys.
Danielle Manning.
Mm-hmm. Lance Briggs, all of them guys.
He loved Danielle Manning.
Yeah.
He loved him some Danielle Manning.
Those were the guys that he wanted. And Angelo went and got those guys.
Tommy Harris.
Mm-hmm. Needed
Tank
that
Johnson.
Tech. Needed that's that. It. Yeah. That's what the good GMs do. They get the groceries for the chef. The chef gets it. He cuts it up. He puts the spices. He gets it all good. And he puts it out there and everybody enjoys it. That's the role. And that's what I kind of envision for Ben Johnson and Ryan Pohl. Mm-hmm. You ain't the head. You ain't the head anymore. I just need these ingredients. Give me Coastal Love because I need my sandwich. Give me Luther Burr. And then I'm going to sit there and I'm going to cook it. And let him cook. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go out and get a different grocery shopper, now he like, you know, let him just do their thing. It's going to be ugly, bro. We told y'all this team was not going to make the playoffs. I don't know who the hell y'all was listening to with podcasters, with content creators, with media members. We said this team was not going to make the playoffs. Not this year. They may have a shot next year once they stop getting these stupid-ass false start penalties. But guess what? Ben Johnson has a complex offensive scheme. There's a lot of moving parts. DJ Moore is getting false starts. They had a whack. They got to learn how to do it.
This whole thing. At the beginning of this whole season, preseason, training camp, all of that, I said all I want to see is progress. And to me, progress for the Bears is not Caleb's numbers. Mm-hmm. Progress for the Bears is not one player or two players production. Fantasy sports. That ain't progress to me. Progress for the Bears is just being able to be in meaningful games in December. Are they meaningful games? Are you going against teams and they're looking, we're destroying the Chicago Bears on our way to the playoffs? Or are you looking to make headway? Are you looking to ruin somebody else's days? Are you looking to be a hurdle that they have to get over, a tough game that they have to get through to get to the playoffs? That's what I saw. I didn't see a playoff team, but I just said, let us play some meaningful games. We may slip and not make it, but let's just be in meaningful contests where we ain't sitting here in December with nothing but trash to talk about on the football field. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I still hope for that, man. But I don't. It ain't off to a good start. I'm just gonna put it that way. It's really not.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. You play two division opponents. They ain't doing no favors with that.
And the only solace that we could take from that is that their divisional opponents or their rivalry games, they're always going to be difficult to be in. And you could also take, well, they both won 14-plus games last year.
Yeah.
So you could look at that and say, okay, they're good teams. You know what I'm saying? You know, they were playoff teams last year. We lost to a couple playoff teams. At least we didn't lose to you know, the Browns or something like that. You know what I mean?
Fucking Panthers. Yeah, blown out by the Panthers. Then you'd be you have no hope. Yeah, man. Like, I'm still saying that I totally want Bear fans to be angry because I want them to see this, and I want Ben Johnson to put up press clippings and tweets and fucking people being pissed off and saying they're trash. They need that. Sometimes you need to hear this shit. I have no problem with it. I encourage it. The only issue that I have is that organizational alignment is very important. And fans in Chicago, so I've seen this. No, you haven't. You've never seen organizational alignment because I've been a Bear fan. I'm fucking 45 years old. I remember the Bears winning the 85 Super Bowl. I was young as hell, but I had the Super Bowl shuffle tape. Right. You ain't been around since then, bro.
Right.
I've seen this organization. They have never been in line. They've never had a good quarterback. Well, they had talented quarterbacks. They never supported them. They didn't have it was always some, like, they had Jay Cutler. He was talented, but then they didn't have wide receivers. And they didn't have an offensive line. They didn't have it was always some crazy shit, even with the Lovie era. And so I'm like, for once, just have this shit all on it. We've been talking about this since Matt Nagy, bro. Like, it all has to be aligned. If you get rid of one, you got to get rid of everyone.
Everybody.
That's why they that Nagy era, they shouldn't even been allowed to draft Justin Fields. Because you created that same thing. You had a lame duck GM and coach draft the first round quarterback, and then they get fired and he goes to another GM and a new head coach. Stop doing that. Stop. Either you see this shit through or you fire everybody and get rid of everyone. So whatever with that, we set our piece, you know, and it's not I'm a Ryan Poles apologist. He's had some fucking misses.
He's had some misses. And that's the thing. Like I said, you're going to have some swings and you're going to have some hit out the park and you're going to have some strikeouts, but you got to be able to live with that. And I think for the most part, the Bears are doing things a little bit differently, which is gives me a little bit of hope, right? Because I feel like they're doing a little things a little bit differently. They're changing some of the ways and views that they had. You know, even the hiring of Ben Johnson to me was huge.
It was.
Because we didn't go after the second or the third on the totem pole. We went for the big fish and we got him. He wanted to be here. We got him. That's another thing that people need to pay attention to. Ben Johnson knows this team.
Yes.
He's faced us. He knows what we got, right? So he wanted to be here. So at this point in time, he knew Ryan Poles. You're not gonna take your first job with a guy that you don't trust as your GM, right?
Yeah.
If you take
one of the reasons why you came,
he's one of the reasons. So that being the case, if Ben Johnson has that type of belief that hey, I believe in him, I like him, that's one of the reasons why I came. Then Bears fans, if you like Ben Johnson, why would you not like Ryan Poles? Because he's speaking highly of him.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that he's done everything right, because he hasn't.
No, he hasn't.
Right? He hasn't. He's missed on some stuff. But at the same time, man, I understand the game of football and I understand how things work. And you're not gonna have 100% success rate.
Nah, you're not.
Just not. Ain't gonna happen. And I'd rather see them tie this together, work for the next four, you know what I mean? At least till Caleb's fourth year in the league. You got 3 years. That's the way I look at it.
Yep.
They got 3 years. If by year four of Caleb, things are not turned around this year, next year, and the year after that, things are not turned around and they're not moving in the right direction, got to make a change. And all of them, everybody.
I think after next year, you'll kind of know.
Yeah.
Next year, by the end of next year, you'll have a good, real good understanding. But you got to at least do it that. Like, that's insane. Like, that microwave generation, bro.
Trying Two to do games it right in, now. Bro. Fire everybody. Jesus.
Okay. Jesus Christ, bro. So, we got that out the way. Now we got a home game versus Dallas. The Cowboys put up a lot of points versus the New York Giants. I still think we better than the New York Giants. I don't give a shit. Nobody's. I'm sorry, bro. I'm at the point with the Bears, bro. I ain't picking them until they show me they should be picked. Do I think the Bears can beat the Cowboys? Yes. Do I know? I don't know. Because they might go out and get 20 fucking offensive penalties, bro. They might get the punt blocked. They might get a field goal blocked.
Yep.
The defense, you know, Dak may catch fire versus our hurt deep. Yeah, he might put up 60 because Kyler Gordon ain't playing and fucking TJ Edwards out and you out there with, you know, Jalen Jones and Blackwell and, you know, whatever. I don't know. So I'm not going to lie to y'all. I think they can win. I think they should win. I think they should win, but I'm not going to pick them.
I'm going to tell you this. They not going to win. And I'm going to tell you why. And I sit here defeated, you know, I'm just going to be honest. You couldn't stop J.J. McCarthy. Case closed. I don't want to hear nothing else. I don't want to hear what the fuck you think you're going to do with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Mouth Breather over there. You're not going to do jack shit with them, bro.
NFL young boy.
You know.
For those that do not know, that is George Pickens.
You're not going to do shit with them. Ferguson and all them motherfuckers, man.
They got a little juggernaut over there on their offensive line.
You're not going to do nothing with them. And their defense will be their – I know Dallas defense isn't that great. But then again, I want people to understand this, right? And this is the reason why we got our ass whooped last week in Detroit.
They signed Clowney, didn't they?
Yeah. And this is the reason why we got our ass whooped last week. You don't think that Dan Campbell didn't know the weaknesses about Ben Johnson's playbook or what he was running or anything like that? He fucking raised him. Literally raised him. Okay?
But
anyway, he lost.
Yeah. Like I'm looking at it and
yeah.
He man, knew how
them penalties, bro. Them penalties killed him.
Yeah.
Them penalties.
I understand that. But we weren't winning that game regardless. Them, you take away the penalties. They threw up 50. So,
yeah, that was on defense, though.
Again.
I don't know what the fuck. Yeah, I like Dennis Allen, too. I don't know what the fuck going on.
Right. I'm just saying, you know, he knew what to do. You know what I'm saying? He knew what to do. He knew how to stop what Ben Johnson wanted to run. He knew how to stop it. All right? And he told his defensive coordinator. Kelvin Shepherd, bro, is a new defensive coordinator. He ain't that fucking sweet. All right?
He didn't stop shit, though, bro. That's offensive. They were getting explosive plays, bro. The Bears fucking can't line up right for whatever fucking reason, bro. I'm dead ass serious.
So going into this Dallas game, you don't think Eberflus know what Caleb can and can't do by now? I'm sure he knows.
I ain't worried about Eberflus.
Don't be.
Hell no.
Don't be. What I'm saying is don't be.
You seen what Eberflus is doing? Eberflus is doing he's running the Tampa 2. We know that he's doing that, right? But you know what? Dallas ain't got the players to run the Tampa 2 effectively. I'm not worried about their defense. I'm worried about their offense putting their points.
I just said their offense is their defense. Okay. So again, we ain't gonna be able to match up with them score for score. Right? We can't cover nobody.
Mm-hmm.
We can't cover no goddamn body. So, you know, you thought Amon-Ra was putting on a show? It's gonna get nasty Sunday. This may be back to back.
CeeDee Lamb, bro. CeeDee Lamb gonna go out there. That's what I'm saying.
This may be a back to back 50 burger. And I'm being dead ass serious when I say this. This may be back to back 50 plus points.
Trustman days.
You think I'm dead ass serious when I say this? This may be a back to back 50 getting hung on us, bro. That shit ain't getting fixed in a week. Okay.
I just said that on this other podcast where there's a Cowboys one that I just did. And dude was like, what do you think? I'm like, man, I don't think we got enough. We don't have enough time to fix the problems that we have.
We don't have enough.
1 week, it ain't going to be fixed. And by week seven, eight, maybe we'll start hitting stride a little bit. But right now, no.
But what I'm saying is that Matt Eberflus knows Caleb's deficiencies. He knows what he's good at. He knows what he's not good at. He knows what he's comfortable with and what he's not comfortable with. Say what you want. He's going to attack that. Okay?
Yeah, he will.
We still have a quarterback that can't read a defense. I'm just being real right now. He can't read the shit. I'm just being honest. It was plays in that game where they had one corner running man and the rest of the motherfuckers running zone, and Caleb looked confused like, what the fuck going on? What am I looking at? He's still learning. Which I don't, again, I'm not knocking, dog. What the fuck you be doing in the offseason? But he's still learning how to read it. And they was doing that shit on purpose. One corner running man and everybody else running zone. And I'm like, I'm watching this shit and I'm like, I know you see this, bro. It's happening. But at the same time, it's like, my dog clock so sped up. It's like, if he ain't seeing a motherfucker open within the first second and a half, he panicking. Like, oh shit. All right, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it. All right, check it out. Throw it down. They gonna do that shit all day, bro, until he figures it out. And this is why I said, this may be a 50 boy. This may be a 50 ball that get hung on us. We again, that first drive, that motherfucker out cold the first drive. Back-to-back games. He out cold that first drive. It's what happens after that first drive. We can't compete. Because then, it ain't scripted no more. Now it's plays that, okay, we gonna run this, we gonna run that, we gonna run this, we gonna run that.
Bro, and when you third in 25,
exactly,
bro, you can't do shit.
Exactly.
Like, it ain't no play.
And they again,
the Bears
to pick up down, 25 down, yards.
And then they'll throw a chunk play, and then they're first and fucking 10. Then you get a hold it.
Again, this is why I said, after those first scripted plays, Jonah Jackson start fucking up, start false starting. Motherfuckers start false starting, doing dumb shit, holding penalties, everything
else. You get a first down and you get a holding penalty.
Now it goes from first and 10 to first and 20.
So to me, that's that. I know Caleb still has to develop, but that shit is the bigger issue.
It's ridiculous.
Than anything on the offense.
Bro, I said that last week. That's what I was most disappointed in, because Ben Johnson is, you know, everybody, attention to detail, line up this way. If you're a yard off, he's on his players about it. So it's like, if that's the case, if you on them so hard and you coaching them hard, why are they not responding?
Are they dumb?
Do we have Neanderthals out here? What do we have?
Mouth breathers. I football coach. I make mistake coach. I mess up coach. Like, yeah, you so dumb motherfucker. Like, stop jumping off sides. Look, bitch, look at the fucking ball. If you
legal
can't
formation.
Understand. This is my thing.
Flag on the plane.
This is my thing, right? Again, we getting back to the huddle. I'm pulling Jonah Johnson, and I'm pulling motherfucker. Look, bitch, look at the fucking ball if you don't know the goddamn snap, okay? Look at the fucking ball. Don't move until the fucking ball move, you fat motherfucker. Stop moving. Fuck is you doing, man?
Somebody said that. So like, who's calling that game? They're like, I don't understand it. They don't understand. Just look at the ball.
I don't understand it, bro. Don't move until like, the fucking ball move.
All right.
Fat lard bastard. What's so hard about that? This shit is dog. Oh my God. Nigga, you right there.
That's the thing. They gotta so you can look at the ball. Like I get that part of it too. You can look at the ball just to keep from false starting and jumping and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you still gotta know that snap count. And that's where we gotta have guys that are smart enough to pick up this stuff. Pick up the snap count. Now, one thing I will say is that from what I've been hearing a lot of people say is that Ben Johnson's offense is technical, it's in depth. Yeah. You got to be smart to run it. So maybe we don't have enough of those type of players. Like we need some smarter guys out there that know what they're doing. Yeah. And that may be the case, bro. Because you need to look at the snap count. You need to know the snap count because you need to know where the blitz is coming from. So you can't just be looking at the ball because you're not going to be looking at who you're supposed to be blocking.
Bro, some of our wide receivers have false started, like in motion.
Yeah. Bro.
Well, they like running the.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
False start, number two.
It's like, bro,
fucking wide receiver.
Sometimes, dog, I'm starting to think that these motherfuckers is purposely doing this shit. Like, are y'all sabotaging this shit purposely? Like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
Bro, I seen like two wide receivers. I can't remember who else did, but it was a couple of false
starts. You gotta be better than that.
Look.
You gotta be better.
So yeah, we getting our ass beat Sunday.
Here's a question. Because somebody wanted us to talk about it too. Why are guys not, you know, some of these guys not getting touches or carries like Manunga? I know Devore, you know, you want to see him get the ball. You want to see Colston get the ball. Luther Burden. You drafted these guys, and it's like you got to put him in the game. What are y'all thoughts on that? Because I got mine, and I know it's different from, I know it's different from Nez's. I don't know what Will's take is on it yet. But
I'll get mine first. It'd probably be quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just think Ben Johnson, because these are Ben Johnson guys. So let's cut that shit out. Yeah. I know people. Oh, I got Poles missed again. No.
Yeah.
These are motherfuckers that Ben Johnson told Poles to draft. All right. Facts. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Luther Burden, Loveland are definitely his picks. He liked Monongo. I think everybody liked Monongo.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think Ben Johnson is just one of those coaches. He's old school. No matter if he wanted to draft you, he ain't playing your young ass until he feels. He even said, he's like, when I feel comfortable with a guy, that's when I'll play. They got to prove to me that they, regardless of he pounded the draft table for you, you have to prove to Ben Johnson. He's just one of those old school coaches. And you got veterans like Cole Kmet. Sure, Loveland's ceiling may be higher than Cole Kmet, but Cole Kmet is a good NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
Zacchaeus. Yeah, Luther Burden has a higher ceiling, but Zacchaeus is a good NFL player. He's proven that. So I think that Ben Johnson is just going to play veterans over rookies for the time being. That's just, I think that's just how he does shit. And you wanted Ben Johnson? Here you go. You got Ben Johnson. He ain't playing rookies like that right away. That's just my opinion. I think eventually he will, but.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I believe similar. I believe that he makes them earn their stripes, right? Like nothing's given. Everything is going to be earned out there, right? I posted a clip of what he said when he was talking about, you know, the game plan going into this week and who's going to get opportunities and who's going to, you know, he's flat out. He spoke, you know, it was clear to me. Like he sat there and said, you know, hey, you know, it depends, man. Like what these guys practice like during the week. What are they gonna do during the week that earns them a spot or opportunities in the NFL game? You know, he said, when I turn on tape and I look at guys and I don't like what I see when you don't have the ball, what makes you think I'm gonna give you the ball? And that's just what it is. Like oh, okay, so. So, and I'm not saying that Monongo is not paying attention or Colson Loveland is not paying attention or Luther Burden, but you gotta be out there and you gotta be executing. If you're the decoy, if you're not involved in the play, if you're getting the ball, all of those things, all of your reps have to be exactly the same every single time for him to play you over a veteran. That's what I believe. So if you got Luther Burden, he knows he's getting the ball, so he's going 100 speed. And then you look at him when he's the decoy, he's not involved in the play, and he's half in it, 40%, 50%. He's barely running his route or whatever. Coach ain't going for that, bro. And I like that about Ben Johnson. I really do. I like that about him because that establishes a culture that you need to play and execute. In order for the plays to work, everybody got to execute. It's 11 men on the field. Ain't nobody taking plays off. That's not how we do this. You don't take plays off that you don't get the ball. So when he said that, that's all I needed to hear. I understood exactly what he was saying. If you're not executing all the time, you ain't getting in the game, period. I don't care where you was drafted. And I'm all for that, bro. That's just the way I look at it.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, I just I could go there with the quarterback position and say, you know, if that's the case, then shit. I mean, the quarterback don't play until he earns his spot, right? But, you know, I feel that because no one says anything about it because they feel that, you know, the quarterback did what he did in college and that's why he was, you know, the number one pick or whatever, whatnot for why he doesn't have to prove himself. Well, I mean, I could say the same. I mean, they were first-round picks. I could say the same for first-round picks and second-round picks. They earned their spot. You know what I'm saying? They did what they did in college, and that's why they don't have to earn or prove anything, you know, on this bum-ass team, especially when they better than the motherfuckers that's in front of them. So, I do believe that, yes, you know, you should earn your spot. You should earn your keep. That's what practice is for. And if they are putting on, you know, in practice from what the reports that we were given, I do believe that they should be getting touches and they should be getting the ball. You know, again, if these are Ben Johnson's guys, then Ben, you find a fucking way to get them the ball. and they should be getting the ball early and often. You know, that's just my opinion on it, because, again, it ain't like these are just guys. These are blue chip caliber game breaker type motherfuckers. And that's how I see it in Luther Burden. And that's how I see it in Colston Loveland. You know, these were two offensive picks, man, that, yo, they can change the tempo of a damn game. And then I look over and I see what the Indianapolis Colts are doing, you know, with my man Tyler Warren, you know what I'm saying? And dog is fucking balling, you know? And it's just like, why can't we get our tight end the fucking ball? You know, why can't we get our tight end the ball? Why we got him going in five yard flats and shit? You know, let's start using this motherfucker and maybe loosen some of that shit up.
But I got a question for you. Yeah. But go ahead.
That. You know what I'm saying? Like, loosen some of that shit up, man. Let's get Luther Burden out there. You know what I'm saying? While we still have DJ Moore before we trade him away, you know, let's use him out there in the fucking slot. You know what I'm saying? Look, Zacchaeus is nice, bro, but Zacchaeus is not going to be a Bear after this season. I don't give a fuck about Zacchaeus, okay? I want Luther Burden to fucking develop, bro. I want Luther Burden to get catches and take that shit to the house and do the shit that he's supposed to do and justify where the fuck we picked him, where we picked him at. If not, leave the motherfucker alone and go get a nigga on the D. You could have went and got an edge. That's my thing. What the fuck you get him for if you ain't going to use him? Use him now before you have to use him when you got to depend on the nigga. I don't want to depend on him right now, so I want him to get his motherfucking rocks off now. So when I do have to depend on him, I know he's a fucking dog. I don't have to find out through trial and error when I need his ass.
But that same thing can be said, though, you know, that you holding on to him and letting him wait and learn and really appreciate his role on the team. And giving 110% effort every single play, no matter where you're playing, whether you're getting the ball or not, that will also determine, you know, how much of a dog he is and how much you can depend on him later, right? Because if he's gifted, you know, these roles and balls thrown his way, yeah, sure, maybe he catches fire and takes off, but there's also the situation where you've developed bad habits that are hard to get rid of, which is being lax on certain plays, chilling, not playing hard, you know, taking plays off. Those are problems that you don't want to have from your players at all. So I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I can't go with it, bro. I can't reward you unless you're doing everything to get on the football field. Like, this is ain't nothing given, bro. That's just the way I look at it. You know what I mean? And I understand the talent level is there and things like that, but I trust Ben Johnson. And like Leroy said, these are his guys. Those are the guys that he wanted. We drafted them players for a reason, right? And yeah, maybe it takes them a little bit longer to understand that, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this to get on the football field. You're on this team, but it's the reason why you're not on the football field yet. Mm-hmm. Because there's still some things that you need to work on.
I look at it from a perspective of, they know what comes along with being picked that high, you know, and whatnot. I'm just looking at it as, what if the New York Giants took that approach with Malik Nabers? What if the Los Angeles Rams took that approach with Puka Nacua? We would have never known these motherfuckers was dogs if we take the approach that we taking right now, because they would have never had the season that they had coming into this year. Now they so far ahead, and this is why.
Well, how do you know they didn't, though?
Well, we don't.
How you know Puka? How you know Puka?
We are only two games into the season.
Right. That's we don't. Game. Right. We
how
don't.
Do you know, How do you know Puka wasn't a dog and paying attention to detail his whole time during training camp and everything else?
Right. That's what I'm saying. We don't. So we don't. You know, all we know is from the outside looking in that these motherfuckers was dogs from day one when they got out there. That's all we know. They threw them out there and they went to work. And again, from the outside looking in, this is what I want to see with our young blue chip talent. I want the motherfuckers to go to work. And in order for them to go to work, you know, I get it. I understand what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? He wants them to earn it. I respect that. But at the same time, you didn't draft them that high for nothing. They're going to have to play. regardless.
I think they will. I think they will play.
I think they will.
He ain't drafting them yet.
By 5, 6, 7, you'll see those guys kind of taking off. But
yeah, I think he.
You know, just for the time being, he you know, make them earn their key, man. That's all. Yeah. You know, I'm
old school
I'm,
like that.
Yeah, I ain't knocking him for that, bro. I think that's the way, right way to be, especially when you're trying to change the culture of this football team. This culture, you know, it's a loser's mentality in this football organization. You know what I'm saying? So when you have a situation where you're trying to change that, you're trying to get out of that, that winner's mentality is effort, max effort all the time. You know what I mean? Winner's mentality is doing what you can, doing everything you can to get on the football field, staying healthy. When you're injured, getting back to the football field by doing your rehab. So these are all things that I feel like he pays attention to that previous coaches, I don't think we really had that paid attention to those things.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's I like it, man. I like it. You know, I think they will play. I'm sure they will play. Colston, Luther Burden, of course, them guys are going to play at some point in time. Mnungai, he'll play as well, but maybe just not immediately. You know what I mean?
Now, Mnungai, I mean, you know, he's a seventh round guy. You know, I ain't.
Right.
I would like to see him get carries, but it's running back by committee back there, you know? So, again, I'm really not pushing for him. You know, if he gets in there, but it's more so the motherfuckers that we drafted high. That's who I'm pushing for. But Mnungai.
The top four picks.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Mnungai in there, you know what I'm saying? Ozzie Trapillo, you know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers got to play. You can't be scratching them, man. Like, they got to play at some point. You know, again, when the bullets start flying, you know what I'm saying? When they get live, I want to know that we can depend on these cats. If, you know, before we have to depend on these cats, and I'd rather be sure that I can depend on you rather than be unsure and put you out there when it's live, you know? And it's just like, oh, shit, you know, and then it's a shit show. Why we got the opportunity, why we are ass right now, let's see what they can do. Fuck it. It ain't like we
good. That might be the case, though, bro. Like, they probably played the veterans because they said, hey, man, we might have a shot to be good, and they should have beat the Vikings.
Yeah.
They probably figured they might lose to the Lions, but they probably didn't think it was going to be an ass-whipping like that.
Yeah.
Right? So they probably think, hey, we can be competitive with these veterans and you know, maybe get a wild card. But once that shit's out the window, at that point, you ain't got no choice. Like, exactly. What's the point of playing Andrew Billings, whose contract is up at the end of the year, over Shamar Turner?
Right.
You might as well put Shamar Turner out there.
Right.
Because he ain't going to be here. Zacchaeus, you might as well play Luther Burden.
But not early, though. But not early, though.
Yeah, like, not
Shamar
early.
Shamar Turner, not early. But
you can move Cole down to tight end too, and just play Colston more. But right now, you don't really have to. Right. You have Billings and Grady Jarrett in front of Shamar Turner. You have Zacchaeus in front of Luther Burden. You have Cole Kmet in front of Colston Loveland. So I don't think he felt the need. But if they continue being ass, fuck it, bro. Throw him out there. Fuck. You got Braxton Jones in front of Ozzie Trapillo. You can let him develop and get his reps on the left side in practice.
Right.
You don't have to put him out there right now. Have him get his ass beat by Grenard and
at that point, if you throw him out there too early, you could damage the confidence and who he is as a player. And he'll spend 2 or 3 years trying to recover from that.
Because Hutch and Grenard and Van Ginkel would have done that to him. They would have whooped his ass.
Destroyed that fool.
Let Braxton Jones get his shit pushed in.
Yeah, let Braxton take that beat down.
He ain't going to be here next year. I promise you that.
That's the truth, though. There's a lot of truth to that. Here's my question, though, man. Like when we're talking about these players, right? And this is something that I've seen with Caleb, right? Do y'all think that Caleb looks for his running backs and tight ends that often? Does he pay attention to them? Does he try to get them the ball? Does he look for the mismatches? I mean, because you got Colston Loveland, you got Cole Kmet. There are mismatches out there to be had.
Big time.
You see what I'm saying? There are mismatches with their running backs because all of them can catch the ball at the backfield.
Yeah.
Right? They can run the ball and they can catch the ball at the backfield. They're not one-trick ponies, right? There's not a James White back there where, you know, if he comes in at running back, he ain't getting a handoff. He's getting a throw. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you know, so it's not a one-trick pony. So does Caleb look for those guys? And I'm not trying to beat up on Caleb. That's not what I'm here to do. But I'm asking legitimately, do y'all think he looks for them the way that he should?
I can go first. I think that he uses the running backs as a check down. He has been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The tight ends, we got history out now. Cole Kmet's numbers went down when he
dramatically,
right? And Cole Kmet he was making hell of a catches. Regardless, you know, and same thing, our tight ends haven't been targeted.
Yeah.
We got two of them. That's like the strength of our offense. We got two tight ends. We said it. We got two tight ends. We can run 12 personnel.
Yeah.
And they ain't. Part of, I don't know what Colston's snap count has been, but, you know, he ain't getting targeted. He probably got, what, one, two catches?
Maybe.
You know.
Yeah, maybe.
Command
three,
got,
maybe. What,
three, four. So, yeah, you gotta target your tight ends. You got, they have to. You know, so yeah, I think that the tight end thing is a thing now. Yeah. It's enough sample size. I'm not a two game sample size person, you know that.
Right.
But
we
got this shit going back into last year that he wasn't throwing the ball to the tight end.
Yeah.
He need to work.
Go ahead, Nez, what you think, bro?
My answer is no. No, he doesn't. Shit. And I'm just gonna be honest. Hell no, he don't. Because, you know, as far as the running back, yeah, he's looking for the running back because that's his
safety valve.
That's a safety valve. You know, when a tight end should be a safety valve. But it's been plenty of times. Shit, he done missed a tight end wide open over the damn middle. You know, it is what it is. Yeah, again, he's learning. You know what I'm saying? This is basically his rookie season all over again. You know, so he's still trying to learn, man. So, you know, no, he doesn't. He doesn't look for the tight end. He doesn't, you know, and he looks for the back more than I would like him to look for the back. But again, according to those that know way more than me, that are Hall of Fame quarterbacks, man, he's making the right play. You know what I'm saying? When he checks down to his running back, and he does it more so than not. He's done it a lot, you know, in that damn Vikings game. And, you know, he tried to do it somewhat in the Lions game, but they took that away. So, but nah, hell no, you don't look for the tight end. And I'm just being real with it. You know, and will that come with, you know, his recognition of the offense and his level of comfort within the offense? I hope so. You know, in the words of my man, I hope so. But, you know, we'll see. You know what I'm saying? We'll see. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking along the same lines, bro. I feel like, you know, there's targets to be had. There's mismatches out there with Colston and with Cole Kmet. And if you're not looking for him, I don't think he looks for him the way that he should. I think, and I'm just going to be honest, man. Like we've said this a few times, and he doesn't know how to read the defenses yet. But there's nothing, because that's with every young quarterback. Like, I've said it time and time again. Pat Mahomes is on record saying, I did not know how to identify the Mike linebacker. And that was the year that they went to the
Caleb don't either. Mm. Right. Fuck it up a couple times.
You don't. No. Right. Right. So it's like,
Dalvin was like, no, that's the Mike linebacker. That's why you got Drew Dalvin. It's Joe Thoney. Yeah.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. But that's the thing. So it's like, it's a work in progress, but this is the stuff that we told people about, right? And people looked at us like we was crazy. We didn't know what we was talking about. Oh no, Caleb can progress to a, you know, he, you know, I said, bro, in college ain't nobody reading 1, 2, 3, 4. You know what I mean? No. You're not reading the defense.
No pure progression in college.
Your guy is usually open. He's wide open. The guy that you really want to go to every single
time. Addison. Addison is always, you know, open.
Yeah,
he's there.
Or Taj.
Yeah. Brendan Rice is running down the sideline. He's wide open. You know what I'm saying? Like just throw it or heave it down there and he'll run underneath it. You know? So, and that's what, but you go back to college, he didn't utilize his tight ends in Oklahoma. He didn't utilize them in USC. He didn't do it last year. And he's not doing it so far this year. So this is, like you said, it's a running theme. It's something that we've seen. Now, I think the running back check down, he's doing it way more than he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a point of emphasis, bro. I think they've simplified some things for him on the football field and said, look, if this guy ain't open, that guy ain't open. Don't look for the third. Just dump the ball down.
Yeah, I think they are.
Because like I've said before, Caleb gets into the mode where he's running and running and running. And he's trying to make plays happen. And sometimes that can be a detriment to your offensive line. And you can make your offensive line look worse because you're running around. And if I'm blocking a certain way, I don't know which way you're running. You flipping around, flipping your hips back and forth, and you running back and forth on the field. I'm going to get called for holding. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, as soon as you turn one way and you start going the opposite way, now all that guy has to do is jerk a little bit, and I'm holding. Automatic holding call every single time. So you can make guys look worse. So I think they've tried to cut him from doing that a little bit. And that's why he's utilizing the running back so much out of the backfield. But I like to see some more targets go to them guys. Like, I think Cole Kmet could be devastating in the seam, up the seam. Mm-hmm. I think he can. He's too big, bro. He's 6'7".
Yeah.
Huge, man.
Same thing as Colston.
Colston, 6'5". Yeah, 6'5", and got wiggle and can run. Like, man, get these guys the ball, bro. Those are matchup nightmares for defenses. You can't put a nickel on him.
No.
You can't put a linebacker on him because they're too slow.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to, bro. I said this. This defense ain't the Bears' defenses of the past. They can't hold people to 17 points, and you win games 19-20 to 17. The offense has all this talent. Look at it, bro. Look how much money they spent on the offensive line. This is why, like, I ain't even knocked them for going for the QB sneak. You traded for Joe Thuney. That motherfucker's a Hall of Famer. You paid Drew Dahlman all his money. You paid Jonah Jackson. All three of these motherfuckers pull. You got Darnell Wright, first round draft pick. Sure, you got Braxton Jones over there. But as Olin Krutz said, when you got those three in the middle, you got a first round draft pick at right tackle. If you lose, it ain't the fifth round draft pick that's making $800,000.
Yeah.
You got four Pro Bowl caliber players on your line, and you got a first overall pick at quarterback.
Yep.
Make them better.
Make them
Cole
better.
Kmet is a second round draft pick. Coastal Loveland's a first round top 10 draft pick. Romo Dunze is a top 10 draft pick. DJ Moore is a first round draft pick that is highly paid. Luther Burton is a second round draft pick. You have all this premium talent on the offensive side of the ball. And the offensive minded head coach, it is on them to be the reasons why the Chicago Bears win the game.
Facts,
bro.
They got too many first round draft picks, too many second round draft picks to be not the reason why you win the game. This ain't the offenses where we had Rex Grossman and Thomas Jones all day and we had whatever we can get at wide receiver.
Whatever
we are blue players.
Whatever we can get.
Whatever we can get. Mark Bradley. Darbarian. Washed up. In his career, Mushin Muhammad.
Moose went to the Super Bowl.
Moose was my guy. I like Moose, man.
Moose was good, but he wasn't the Moose that he was in Carolina.
Nah, he wasn't the same thing. But
he was different. They'll remember that Moose. I remember Moose when he was with Carolina. He was still okay, but
he was all right. He was dependable, but he was that Moose.
No, we got way more talent than them Bears ever could have.
Right,
that's fact.
They should be the reason why we win the game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not the reason. Yeah. Yeah.
We should be able to put up 40 points and go on the race with these people
with ease.
You cannot guard all these weapons. We got DeAndre Swift. He's another first round. Was he first or second round?
He's first round with the Lions.
Yeah, he's first round. And he's paid. So he's a first rounder that survived and got a second contract.
Yep.
So
or was he a these second players, rounder?
Go look at his highlights in Georgia. Like, people talk about shit about DeAndre Swift.
And go look at his highlights when he was with Philadelphia.
Philly.
Right before he came to Chicago. He ran for 1,000 yards and caught, I don't know what, 70 passes or something like that?
Yeah. The dude, bro. I mean, he ain't no grounded out between the tackle guy. I ain't gonna lie to you, but the guy got 4.4 speed. The guy
was,
can catch
he was
the ball
picked
out of
with
the back
third
field.
Pick in the second round.
Yeah. These are premium players, bro. Yeah. All over the offense.
And they're all young. It ain't like they old and washed up.
Yeah,
you know, of all those players. Thuney. Or and skill position player, the oldest one is DJ Moore. He's only 28.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, you got some talented young pieces. We got to be better, bro. We just got to be better. You know what I'm saying? And I like to see that Caleb is making progress. You know what I mean? I've been on that tip all day. Like, I see some progress, but the progress to me is the real progress is dubs, wins, the win column.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna sugarcoat this just because I'm pushing some narrative that, oh, we made the right choice by getting rid of Justin Fields. I don't care no more, bro. I really don't. Like, we have what we have. Let's move forward.
Facts.
Give me the dubs now. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get some wins. You know, 417 yards, like I said, man, that's 108.5 yards per game. I mean, 208 yards per game.
That's cool.
That's not. Yeah, it's cool if you win it. Like I said, I put a tweet out today. I don't know if y'all saw it. I put the numbers up. Caleb got 417 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Jalen Hurts has like 200 and some yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. His QB rating, his QBR is 71. Caleb is 57, even though he got more stats. That tells you right there, he's making the better decisions on the football field. Jalen Hurts is. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts is coming off of a Super Bowl, an MVP, right?
Yeah.
Of the Super Bowl. And his team is 2-0. Caleb Williams with the better stats, with the fantasy stats, 0-2. His team is reeling. Just got waxed 52-21.
Got their cheeks ran.
So it's like the stats are not indicative of who the football team is. This is a team sport, and people got to understand that, bro.
Goes stop back being to what fixated. We originally said.
On the quarterback all the time.
What about the Eagles organization?
What about them?
They are all in alignment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Back they got rid of Carson point. Wentz for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
They said and they got rid of Doug Peterson. They seen the winner. They seen the winner.
Got rid of Doug Peterson, too.
Yep. Got rid of Doug Peterson, too, because he didn't believe in Jalen Hurts. He was like, bye. You got to go.
Bye.
Roseman, Sirianni, Jalen Hurts.
Yep. And they're working.
Holy trinity of football.
They're working together.
The GM, the head coach, and the quarterback.
That's it.
It is what it is.
You gotta do it.
Pray. All you can do, Bear fans, is pray that the Bears got it right because you got
that they got it right. If they didn't get it right, in 3 years we'll be drafting another quarterback and we'll be getting a new GM and a new head coach. But until then, for the next 2 years at least, we got to see this through.
That's all we can do.
Settle in. Get your popcorn. Grab you something to drink. Get that six pack out if you want to. That Bush.
You know, Bush, V, that old you style. Know V on it.
Sit back and relax. Sit know, back v and relax.
Drunk ass on it. So, hey, it is.
A bottle of Jack.
Bottles of everything.
Sit that, back and
Crown
rock.
Crown Royal Apple.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man. Didn't we want to shout out?
Yeah, shout out. Gregory Bell, man.
Yes, sir.
Friend of the show. Our brother, man. His wife. Sang at the Vatican. She was out there with Pharrell in the clip.
Yeah,
she
got crazy, invited. Bro. That's crazy.
That's huge. That's
crazy.
That's huge.
That's crazy. And shout out to them too, man. I recently got some stuff. You know, they got their own, you know, they do a lot of stuff, man. She does the singing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He does some refereeing and, you know, he also, you know, works and things like that. I ain't gonna give away where he works. I don't like doing that type of stuff.
Right.
But shout out to them though. They also have like their own business where they do some products like natural products and things like that, hair stuff, you know, deodorant, lotions, all that type of stuff. So I actually bought a couple things because, you know, I did it for my son's hair. You know what I mean? Like, got some natural gel and stuff like that for his hair. You know, to keep it moisturized and stuff. So. Seems to be working good, man. So shout out to them for that too. I appreciate them.
That's what's up.
Sending it out.
That's what's up. Doing big things over there. G Bell. Sure. Mr. and Mrs. G Bell.
That's it. Congratulations to them, man. That's a huge, huge thing.
That's a huge, man, that, huge thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. That's all I got other than that, man. We gonna truck on. Hopefully the Bears shock us all with that Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah. What y'all did? Y'all want to give a prediction for the scores?
I said it's gonna be an ass whooping. I just got a blowout, bro.
Just the hell it's gonna be.
27-17 Dallas. 27-17 Dallas.
Blowout fashion. 30 or more by Dallas.
That offense better step it up. I just told y'all all this.
We losing, but I'm gonna say Dallas gonna put up 30 or more, and I say we gonna lose.
Well, Bears better put up 27 at least. That offense better do something.
They better.
They got too much talent and money and draft picks. No. Fuck
and at
that.
This point in time, when your team gives up 52, you better go out there knowing as an offense, we gonna be in shootouts all year. We gotta start producing. So get ready.
Yeah.
Either get with it or get busy getting out of here. Straight up.
Get with it or get
gone.
There's
gonna be some changes. Yeah, there's gonna be some changes next year.
Oh shit! I'm telling you, that shit coming this season. Mark my words.
It very well could.
Some motherfuckers getting up out of here immediately. And come that trade deadline, I'm telling you, bro, and I'm sick about it. But it is what it is. It is what it is. Hey, listen,
they better get down and lay down.
Moore, DJ Moore, DJ Moore, and Montez Sweat are going to be the two players that are going to get traded before the trip by the trade deadline. Mark my words. Remember, I said this shit in the summer. And I said this shit in the summer when in our chat group. I said, "Duh, they gonna trade DJ Moore. They gonna trade him soon." And people didn't want to hear me. They gonna trade him soon. Mark my words. I mean, Mark
in
my
a
words.
Perfect world, if they playing well, you don't trade GA Moore. That's the thing. If they winning, you keep them. But they ain't winning, so that's they gotta the win. Like winning, Dan said, you gotta
winning,
win.
Yeah. Winning solves the problems, right?
Absolutely.
Whatever disconnect they have. It all gets solved when you win a couple of games. Mm-hmm. You win a few games. That gets solved. Yeah. It gets thrown out the window. Jesus, I ain't got to be your friend off the field. I ain't got to be your friend off the field. But when you ain't winning, man, that gap gets wide, bro.
They go out here and win the next two games. The whole, all this shit going to go away. All this talk about firing the GMs and trading people. That shit can end Sunday. It's on them.
Yeah.
They go out there and win the fucking game and then – it ain't gonna stop. It gonna quiet down, and then you play the Raiders. They're a fucking mess.
Well, bro, you know our record against the Raiders. The last what is it? The last four times we played, I believe we lost all four. We can't beat them, no matter how sorry they is.
We beat them with Justin.
No, we didn't.
Didn't we?
No, we lost.
I don't know.
We lost that game where my man Daniels flipped dude and shit. We lost that fucking game.
Did we lose?
Like, how we lose that?
Did we lose that game? I don't remember.
Yeah, bro.
But I don't give a fuck. That don't matter. That's the past. But I'm just saying in theory, if the Bears win the next two games, they go into the bye. 2-2. You already know how it's gonna happen. Motherfuckers will start feeling good. Articles will start changing. Yeah. Oh, the Bears are getting healthy after the bye. Austin Booker's back. DJ Moore looks good. Roma Dunze connection. Caleb making progress. The defense, all that shit have changed. That's what, all I'm saying is that winning cures all. As long as you're losing, the media going to be on your neck. The national media making fun of you. The local media.
The fans are going crazy.
Fighting each other. Fighting all the fans do is pit. It's factions of fan bases. Some people blame Ryan Poles. Some people blame Caleb Williams. Some people said we should have never hired Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Some people say fire fucking get George McCaskey out of that. So I saw somebody blaming Virginia McCaskey.
I seen somebody say
the last time we beat the Raiders, Raiders, I think they started Tyson Bagent. We started Tyson Bagent first game. That was the last time we beat the Raiders in 30-12.
Yeah, I think that's the last time we played them.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, if we win a couple games going into the bye, all this shit goes away.
Yeah.
I still don't think we're making the playoffs. If we win.
That was the craziest thing I've seen, bro. Is like somebody was like Ben Johnson in over his head. He's I'm it's like, true, man, it's two games, bro. Like, what are you talking about? He's in over his head. What are you?
He lost to a 14-win team and a 15-win team.
God, dog, and he's in over his head. Okay, and this is a team. Wow. I'm four.
Yeah, it is.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man.
That's all I got.
Ben Johnson, get your stuff together, bro.
Facts.
Yeah. Get them out of there. Get the players that can't play, get them out of there, bro.
Facts.
Yeah.
You got young talent waiting in the wings. Fuck it.
That's it. And I guarantee you, if the Bears keep losing by game five, it will be that. It will be, let's just run with the young boys and see what they can do.
That's it.
Get them all the experience they need now so that we can be prepared for next year.
Yeah.
Man, y'all That's be it. Easy, man. We ain't got no trash tweet of the week. We're going to give one next week, though.
It was a lot of trash tweets.
So. It was a lot. It's too many to go through.
The trash one, I don't remember who said it. It was the person that said it. They blamed Virginia McCaskey for running a shit organization for all these
crazy.
I should have screenshotted that. I was like, oh, my God, bro, you going to hell. Wow. That sweet old lady, man. God bless her. So.
What'd she do, man? She's gone, bro. God dang.
I swear to God. I'm going to look it up, bro. I'm going to find that
That's
tweet.
Crazy.
I'm gonna look it up.
People nuts, bro. I'm telling you, man. We got some idiots in the fan base, bro. just walking, bumbling, talking fools, idiots. It is what it is.
Yep.
Till next time.
Y'all take it easy, man. Be safe.
We out, man.
Peace.